Job chapter 1, let's go there in the Word of God. We're actually in Job chapter 2. Say Job chapter 2, all right? Not chapter 1, chapter 2. Job chapter 2 in the Word of God. Speaking of storms in the life of this servant of God. If ever somebody was in a storm, Job was. I'd like to bring your attention to the first verse in chapter number 2 and to the first word. Verse 1, chapter 2, first word. Say with me.
Again.
Yeah. How many of you be glad if the devil just hit you one time and leave you alone? But the Bible said again. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And who came also?
Satan.
Among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. That's a whole lot of words for one word, meddling. Meddling. That's what the devil's doing. He's meddling. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Wouldn't you like him to talk about you like that? There's none like him in the earth. Perfect and upright man. Feareth God. Steweth evil. We've heard that before, haven't we? Did we hear that in chapter 1? Yeah. Now we're hearing it again when? Chapter 2. Yeah. You know what we're going to find out in your life? Whether or not you still have the character in chapter 2 that you had in chapter 1. Yeah. And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. It's devil talk. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand. Next word. How many of you thankful for the buts in the Bible? But save his life. Let the church say amen. Father, thank you for the God that you are, that we can praise you in the storm. Now, I pray for those in the storm tonight that you'd give them the will to praise a good God even when bad things happen. Now, Lord, help us in these next few moments. Although brief, may you give us more than what time would represent. And then as we learn tonight, help us to live when we leave, to be better believers, better Christians, better children for you. I think this group of young people that is here tonight, many of them, the biggest storms of their lives are yet to come. Help them to realize that you're still good when things are bad. Now bind the devil. Yeah, that devil we're going to talk a little bit more about tonight. Bind him. Put a hedge of protection about this place. God, I pray that you just keep him from doing what does not need to be done. Help us to get what we need and help us, Lord, to keep on keeping on. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We're pondering the question that so many will ponder in their lives again and again. Say it with me. Why do bad things happen to good people? Talk to me again. Why do? And you're going to ask yourself that over and over again. Young people, you're living in a society that wrestles with questions like that, and they've often concluded that God is just not fair, and that God, if he is, God wouldn't do that, and they're posing questions to God as if God is on trial. Look, somebody tonight, before we get into the service, needs to just determine in your life, you're going to take God off a trial. He doesn't have to prove himself to us. In the beginning, God. We came after him. He was here before us. We don't make him answer us. We answer him. Amen? And so here's Job. He's just living out this question right before all of us. And we began this story pondering this question really with the stellar description of Job. We found out about Job before the storms ever came, before the trials ever came, that this was a rich man. This was the man richest in all of the East. This was a man with 10 children. This was a man with character. This was a man with possessions. I mean, there was nobody greater than Job was. But the biggest thing about Job that we learn in the part of his character was that he walked uprightly, he feared God, and he hated evil. You know what Job was? He was a good Christian. Amen. Before the trials came. Righteous walk, reverent ways, repulsive wickedness. We find the stellar description of Job, and we saw him as one that walked with Almighty God. But in the midst of all of this stellar description of Job, he enters into an arena of severe distress. Severe distress. And the Bible shows us this spiritual arena where God is. And we saw this in chapter number 1. There was a day when the sons of God... And we learned in Job chapter 1 that the sons of God in Job 1 was referring to whom? Angels. Sons of God came to present themselves before God. Satan came among them, and we found out these angels there in Job chapter number 1. And here comes the devil. He's a fallen angel, created as an angel, a choice angel, an angel that was the anointed cherub, created to worship and to lead the worship of God in heaven. And yet he fell because of pride. Now he's coming back. And here he comes when the angels are coming before God. Here comes this sure adversary in the midst of a spiritual arena. And he's up to satanic activity, going to and fro throughout the earth, trying to find somebody to mess with, trying to find some trouble to start. Peter puts it this way, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. May all of us remember tonight, as we sit in church tonight, that he is not a cartoon character. He is not some little weak foe. He is not some figment of our imagination. He is not just some little bad conscience that happens from time to time. He is an enemy of us and an enemy of God, and he's more powerful than you and more powerful than me, and the only way we can beat somebody more powerful than we are is to get in tune with somebody more powerful than him. And aren't you glad God is? Absolutely. And we found out that God gives specific attention to the devil about Job. Well, you looking for somebody to mess with? How about my servant? You looking for somebody to you looking for somebody to fool with? You looking for something to do? Have you considered him? He's mine. He fears me. He walks with me. He hates evil. And the silly assumption of Job is, yeah, he only does that because you put a hedge about him. And the sovereign allowance of God is, okay, I'll let you touch him. I'll let you, since you say he only serves me because I block trouble from him, I'll let you put trouble in him. You're going to find out he don't serve me because I'm good to him. He serves me because I'm God. And again, the devil, with permission, gets allowance to mess with Job, and he does. Sudden adversity comes, hits his flocks, it hits his farmers, it hits his finances, it hits his family. In one conversation, he learns his flocks are dead, his farmers are dead, his finances are gone, his family, all 10 kids are gone. He didn't learn this in a week. He didn't learn this in just a day. He learned this in one conversation. Would anybody agree with me? I'd call that bad news. Yeah. And immediately, Job's response to bad news is sincere adoration. Right at the end of chapter number 1. Immediately, without being prepped, without being prodded, without being begged by the worship leader, without being visited by his pastor, without being prompted, without being coddled, without being incentivized. The Bible says immediately after he gets the bad news, verse 20, he arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground, and worshiped. May God help us, like the song we just heard sung, to realize that even when we find out the worst news in our lives, God is still God. And he worshiped him. He displayed his passion, and there's nothing wrong with it. He ran his clothes. He shaved his head. He was sad. And there's nothing wrong with being broken when you lose people that you love. Nothing wrong with being broken when somebody you care about passes away. Nothing wrong with being broken when you lose your job. Nothing wrong with being broken when your parents go through a divorce. Nothing wrong with being broken when you go through a financial crisis. Nothing wrong with being broken when something bad happens to you. But make sure you display your passion, but you're deliberate about your posture. You fall down before God, and you have a discerning perspective in life. When you lose something in life, remember how life began. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Somebody help me preach tonight. Listen, when something is taken from me, I got to realize I came here with nothing. I'm going to leave here with nothing. If I came with nothing and I have something, God gave it to me. If I had nothing and God gave it to me, then God has the right to take from me what he gave to me because it was his in the first place. Amen? Yeah. And there's something wrong with us when we get mad with God for taking something from us that wasn't ours anyway. Now listen to me tonight. We're stewards, not owners. Say it with me. We're stewards, not owners. Talk to me. We are not. You know what a steward is? A manager. Huh? Now you may manage the store, but you don't own the store. Huh? There's nothing you have in your possession that you own. Listen to me. Your time belongs to God. Say amen. Your talent belongs to God. Say amen. Your treasure belongs to God. Your house, your car, your kids, your intellect, your future, your plans, your dreams. It all belongs to God. And if it belongs to God, he can do what he wants with it. The divine prerogative of God, the deliberate praise of Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's say that together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When, no matter what happens, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lost his flocks, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lost his family, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lost his farmers, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lost his finances, blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Did anything happen to you today that took away your blessed be the name of the Lord? If it did, then you had the wrong source as the blessed be the name of the Lord, because nothing you lose should stop you from blessing the name of the Lord, because you ain't gonna never lose the Lord. Amen. Tonight we're going to watch Job after he shows this disciplined perseverance in verse number 22. And all this, he sinned not nor charged God foolishly. He never blamed God when these things happen. Why isn't it so instinctive of us to get mad at God? How could you do that? How could you let that happen? How could you let me go through that? How could you let me awaken to this news? How could you let them do that to me? God, I'm not mad that you let it happen. I'm just mad you let it happen to me. It's amazing how cool we are when something happens to somebody else. No. Didn't look that bad. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't whine about it. I mean, good gracious, it's 2024. Bad things happen to all kinds of people. And the same thing happens to me. Oh, Lord, oh, me, oh, my. Go fund me. Help me. Listen to me. It's a shame when we think God has the right to do it to somebody else and not the right to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing we have is ours. And all this. And all this. Flocks, families, farmers, finances. Bad news. He sinned not. Doesn't mean Job was perfect. It just simply means that Job didn't lose his mind when he lost his stuff. Somebody help me preach. That's what happens in our lives. We lose our stuff, we lose our mind. And ladies and gentlemen, if ever a time you need to get your mind right is when you're going through difficulties. And let me tell you, it's hard to get your mind right when trials come if it wasn't right before they came. You got to get in the book. You got to get on your knees. You got to walk with God. And here's the time, young people, right now in your life, when you're 16, 17 years old and you're junior in high school, and you think you just got it rough. I mean, you got it rough. Chemistry is rough and algebra is rough and getting up early in the morning is rough and homework is rough and exams are rough and living with parents is rough and curfew is rough and them checking your cell phones is rough and them being in your business is rough and going to church and having rules. A Christian school, you got a uniform, is rough. You ain't seen rough yet. Forget checking your phone. Wait till you have to pay for it, all right? That's rough. The foundation is being laid in your life right now. to learn to walk with God, those chapel periods when somebody's coming in are not just to fill the day, not just time for you to sleep or to do your homework. Somebody is getting you ready because there's coming a day when nobody's going to make you read your Bible. Nobody's going to make you memorize scripture. And you're not going to have chapel 3 times a week. Nobody's going to make you go to church when you're in Washington, D.C. You're going to have to learn to do it on your own because you learned to do it when somebody was making you. The storm is coming around the bend. You better learn to have your mind right now so you don't lose it later. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. Here we are. We're moving on from sincere adoration to what I call sustained attempts. Sustained attempts. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. Say the word again with me. First word, again. Again. Now how many of us are looking at our Bibles right now and going, good gracious, Satan, leave him alone. Have you ever seen a bully picking on somebody and you tried to intervene and say, okay, he's had enough. He's had enough. He's had enough. I mean, leave him alone, man. I mean, good night. You're beaten. How much worse can you give him? How much more can you do to him? How much more bad is he supposed to take? The man went from the top to the bottom. He's doing a funeral for 10 children. He doesn't have anybody working. His barns are all burned down. His money is all gone. Leave him alone. But listen to me. Look at me tonight, because you better understand this. I wonder if Job had acted a fool at the end of chapter number 1. Maybe the devil just might have left him alone. But see, you really tick the devil off when he messes with you and you still praise God. So you're going to have to brace for impact. Go ahead. You want him to get off of you? You want him to get off your radar? Get off of his. I don't know why the devil keeps messing with me, because you keep messing with him. Quit messing with him. Live for him. Get on his team. Act like he's your boss. Act like you love him. Invite him in your house. Feed him. Give him a to-go bag. Give him a key to the house. He'll leave you alone. But you tell him, mess with me all you want to. I'm going to keep worshiping God. Guess what? He's coming back again. So here we are. Sustained attempts. Look at the perpetual arena that is ongoing in verse number 1 of chapter 2. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the... Here's the perpetual... This is the arena that never, ever ends. It's the perpetual arena where God is worshipped. Where God is worshipped. Please understand, this is going on and it's going on nonstop. This is an arena that never stops. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present them. Now listen to me now. Down where Job is, he's getting hit right and left, and it seems like it never stops. But listen to me, you got to understand something. Even when it seems like it never stops down here, up there, God is still on the throne. That's a perpetual arena. Notice also the present adversary. The present adversary. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. By the way, they came to present themselves before the Lord because the Lord is on the throne and he is to be. I wish somebody tonight going through it, getting knocked over again and again by Satan. I wish for a few moments at church tonight, you take your mind off of what the devil's doing to you and get your mind on where God sits. He's on the throne. Watch this now. But here is the adversary. He shows up again. Present. Angels, present. God, present. Satan, present. Don't you wish he skipped class? Don't you? I mean, don't you wish he'd just get off your back? Don't you? You hear people say, when it rains, it pours. Yeah, here it is. I mean, he's just found out the worst stuff of his life. And then there was a day in the perpetual arena when God is being worshipped in the present adversary, and the devil is among them with a persistent agenda. Notice verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? It's almost like we are reliving chapter 1 again. The angels come to worship God, and the devil shows up with them. And God says to the devil, what you been up to, man? And Satan says to the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. Don't flatter yourself, beloved. The devil did not invent an agenda for you. He's been doing it. He's just picking on me. He's just picking on me. I mean, he's doing this. Remember Elijah? Oh, me. Oh, I am left. I'm the only one out here. I'm the only one standing for God. He's just picking on me. Don't flatter yourself, Elijah. 7,000 people. There's other people that have stood up to the devil and refused. You are not the only one fighting Satan. Plenty of people fighting Satan. He just makes you feel like you're all by yourself. Listen to me. He's running his agenda on you like he's running on everybody else. Persistent. He never quits. That's why Christians that quit just give the devil more impact than he deserves. See, when you stop, he doesn't stop. And when you stop and he doesn't stop, you let him do more than he could do. Listen to me, beloved. You can't quit till Jesus comes back, because the devil ain't going to quit till Jesus shuts him down. Yeah, I'm still doing what I was doing in chapter 1. And here we are, March of 2024. What was the devil doing today? I'll tell you what he was doing. Going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. That's what he's doing. He's just meddling. And he's going to keep meddling. Revelation said, he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, it's like when we used to call on calling cards, and you would hear, y'all never heard of calling cards. You would hear a voice on the calling card say, 1 minute left. What did you do when that voice said 1 minute left? Talk faster. Because when the clock is ticking, you better get it in, because once the last tick takes place, you can't talk anymore. Could I tell you something? The devil is on the clock. He's turning up his efforts. And here he is with a persistent agenda. I'm going to and fro in the whole earth. Now look at verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, is this deja vu? Hast thou considered my servant Job? Somebody say amen, that he's still a servant after the trial like he was before. Let's try that again. Come on now. Job deserves a better amen than that. I said he's still a servant after all them trials like he was before them. Amen. How about you? Is God able to pointedly acknowledge you to the devil? After the devil reiterates his agenda, I'm going to and fro, I'm looking around, I'm looking for somebody to mess with, I'm looking for somebody to bother, I'm looking for somebody to afflict, I'm looking for someone to persecute, watch this now, I'm looking for somebody's nerves to get on. And here comes the King of Kings and the Creator of the universe, the sovereign God who orchestrates the providence and the affairs of the entire mankind. He says back to the man, to the fallen angel, the arch enemy who's looking for somebody's nerves to get on, have you considered my servant Job? Don't you miss verse number 3, because it's good. Why not? Watch this now. It's almost identical to what God said about Job in chapter number 1. Remember, look back in your text, and let's see it again. Chapter 1, verse number 8, for the guys upstairs. Verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Who said that? Who said that? About whom? Job. Now look back at chapter number 2, and let's listen to God say almost identically what he said in chapter number 1 about Job, but there's a little addendum there in chapter number 2 that could not be said in chapter number 1, because there were some details that had not occurred yet. Now here's this. Listen, don't you love it when God updates your resume with added details that bolster your character, because you've now established some longevity that proved that what you did wasn't a phase, it was actually who you are. Now look at chapter number 2, verse number 3. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Said that before. Perfect and upright man. Did he say that before? One that feareth God. Did he say that before? One that escheweth evil. Did he say that before? Now look at this part. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him with a cause. Here's what God said. Everything I said about him in chapter number one, I'm saying about him in chapter number two, even after you mess with him. Here's the point of the acknowledgement of God. He highlights his character. He walks uprightly. He fears me. He eschews evil. He's got highlighted character, but he's got an honorable consistency about him. He still holdeth fast his integrity. Huh. Yeah, that's where I'd like to leave us tonight. Anybody got some consistency in here? Can you handle a chapter one conversation like Job, and in chapter two, still be holding fast your integrity? Because I just think there's a popularization of believers, especially nowadays, that look real good before the bad news. They sound real good before they go through a tough time. Their report card looks real good. Don't you love your GPA when the quarter starts over? Everybody got 100. Look, Mom, I got an A in all my classes. You know why? Because you ain't had no test yet. And I wonder if there's a bunch of paper Christians in the building tonight. I wonder if there are some believers in the building tonight that look real good as believers because they haven't had any tests yet. And God says, he still walks uprightly. He still fears me. He still hates evil. Even though you move me against him and attacked him, watch this now, his walk has not changed. That's real. That's real Christianity. And I'm challenging everybody in the building. The trials are coming. Maybe not like Job. But you're going to face a burden. You're going to get a call. Something's going to be attacked. Something that you don't have files on. The devil is going to run his agenda on you if you decide to live for God. Here's the challenge of this pastor to these people in March of 2024. Come what may, rain or shine, storms or winds, life or death, riches or poverty, attack, adversity, attempts, or whatever comes in your life. Listen to the preacher man tonight. When it comes to your integrity, hold fast. Hold fast. Because you prove that you're real when the storm comes. Our Lord and our God, help us. We are so troubled often. And the difficulties of life, unfortunately, are often claimed as excuses for why we're not good Christians anymore. And God, my heart gets discouraged sometimes over believers that tucked and ran when the trial. Oh, you were so good. You were so good when the farm was was booming. You were so good when the farmers were working. You were so good when the flocks were abundant. You were so good when the finances were full. You were so good when the family was intact. But when everything got shook up, all of a sudden, no fearing God, no walking uprightly. No, it amazes me how many Christians got hit with trials and seemed to simultaneously tolerate growing into loving the sin they used to hate. Disrespecting the God they used to fear and walking against the God before whom they were once upright. May your people tonight make a renewed commitment to hold fast. Pastor, all over the building, God has spoken to my heart, and in my seat, I'm telling the Lord, he's convicted me and asking that God would help me in my toughest times to hold fast. All over the building, your hearts are being represented by your hands. Would you hold them up all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, young people. God bless you, adults and everyone alike. Now, Father, in our hearts we're praying. We've got to get out this building tonight and live it. Help us. Thank you for the grace and peace Brother Craig prayed about tonight that we need to live it. Now give us the courage to hold fast. And for all of these things, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's children said, thank you for being in